A non-resident company will be subject to UK corporation tax if it is carrying on a trade through a permanent establishment in the UK. Thus, we need to consider, when does a company have a permanent establishment, or PE, in the UK? A company will have a PE in two circumstances. It has a fixed place of business, through which the business is wholly or partly carried on, or an agent habitually carries on business activities as authorised for and on behalf of the company. We need to consider in more detail the definition of a fixed place of business. A fixed place of business is defined as including a place of management, a branch, an office, a factory, a workshop, an installation or structure for the exploitation of natural resources, a mine, an oil or gas well, a quarry or other place of extraction of natural resources, or a building site, construction or installation project. A company will not be regarded as having a PE if it carries on its business through an independent agent acting in the ordinary course of their business, or if the activities are of a preparatory or auxiliary nature. Activities will be of a preparatory or auxiliary nature if they relate to the use of facilities or maintaining stock, or the storage, display or delivery of goods, or the maintenance of goods for processing by another person, or the purchasing of goods or merchandise, or collection of information for the company. The UK legislation has been amended to bring in the concept of a PE as used in the OECD Model Treaty. We will look at the OECD Model Treaty in a later session. Let's move on to consider how PEs are charged to corporation tax. Where a non-resident company is trading through a PE in the UK, it will be chargeable to corporation tax on trading income arising directly or indirectly through or from the PE. Corporation tax is also charged on income from property or rights used by, held by, or held for the PE. And chargeable gains arising within Section 10B TCGA 1992. We shall look at chargeable gains in a moment. We have legislation which sets out how the profits to be attributed to a PE will be calculated. Calculating the profit of the PE. In applying the rules, the PE will be assumed to have the same credit rating as a non-resident company, and to have such equity and loan capital as it would reasonably be expected to have as an independent entity. No deduction will be allowed for costs in excess of those that would be incurred on these assumptions. Sections 20 to 32 of CTA 2009 set out further details relating to the deductions that can be claimed for allowable expenses. Basically, the same rules will apply as for a UK resident company. In addition, a deduction can be claimed for executive and general administrative expenses, whether incurred in the UK or elsewhere. Transactions between the PE and the non-resident company will be treated as taking place at arm's length. A deduction will be available for allowable expenses, whether or not the expenses are incurred or reimbursed by the PE. No deduction is allowed for royalties paid to other parts of the non-resident company. However, contributions towards creating an IFA will be allowed. Dividends and other distributions from UK resident companies will not be charged to tax. If annual income or other annual payments are received after deduction of income tax, as long as the income is subject to tax, the same rule applies as to a resident company. For a non-resident company, the full rate of corporation tax is normally applied, regardless the level of profits. However, where the company is resident in a country that has a double tax treaty with a non-discrimination clause, a small company's rate can be claimed, and corporation tax self-assessment applies. We shall look at non-discrimination clauses in a later chapter on double tax treaties. Turning now to chargeable gains of a permanent establishment. As for resident companies, a PE will be charged to corporation tax on its chargeable gains. Chargeable gains will arise on the disposal of assets situated in the UK used for the purposes of the trade or for the purposes of the PE at or before the time the gain accrued. The disposal will only be taxable if the asset is used in a trade carried on through a PE or situated in the UK at the time of disposal. We can see that it would be easier to avoid the charge to tax either by moving assets outside the UK or by ceasing to trade. As a result, there are rules to prevent this. Where a non-resident company ceases to trade through a PE, a charge will arise. The PE will be treated as having sold and reacquired the chargeable asset at market value immediately before it ceased to trade. If the PE exports a chargeable asset, then a gain will be deemed to arise immediately before the asset leaves the UK. Rollover relief can apply to a PE, but not if the new asset acquired is outside the charge to UK capital gains tax. The no gain, no loss rules of Section 171 TCGA 1992 can apply where a non-resident company transfers the whole or part of the PE to another company in the same 75% group. Note that where the transferee is also a non-resident, the assets must stay within the charge to capital gains tax. Don't forget that similar rules apply to the transfer of intangible fixed assets. PE assessment, collection and recovery of corporation tax. Rules relating to the assessment, collection and recovery of corporation tax for UK companies apply to the UK representative of the non-resident company as they would to a UK resident company. A PE in the UK through which a trade is carried on is the UK representative of a non-resident company. The PE will continue to be treated as a UK representative even after the trade has ceased and is treated as a distinct and separate person to the non-resident company. The non-resident company will be bound by the acts of the UK representative as if they were its own, in connection with the obligations and liabilities imposed on the representatives. However, the non-resident company will not be bound by mistakes in information provided by the UK representative, unless they arise from acts or omissions of the non-resident company, or to which it consented or connived. The UK representative cannot be proceeded against for a criminal offence, unless it committed the offence itself or consented or connived to it. If the corporation tax due by a non-resident company is outstanding for more than 6 months, then the other companies who were members of the same group or consortium as the non-resident company, or members of a group where another company was a member of such a consortium, can be served a notice requiring them to pay the outstanding tax. Companies only have to be members of the same group at any time in the 12-month period before the start of the accounting period for which the outstanding tax is due. For these purposes, the 51% definition of a group is used. For consortiums, a 75% definition is used. Where tax is recovered from a consortium member or another member of the same group as a consortium member, the amount cannot exceed the consortium member's share of the corporation tax outstanding. Any notice under these rules must be served within 3 years of the date on which the tax liability was finally determined. Non-resident company income tax. Where a non-resident company has income that is not subject to corporation tax, for example, where it is not trading through a PE or has letting income from property in the UK, income tax will apply. No further income tax is due where a non-resident company has tax deducted at source from loan relationships, dividends, and certain miscellaneous income. Tax deducted at source includes tax paid or treated as paid. Where there is an entitlement to a tax credit, no further tax liability arises.